All right, Rabosei, good morning. Let's begin. So we're picking up on page 164. So we began this section yesterday, but let's begin. Let's start it again. L'chein chazal hirbu lahas yalan osei shgemar ha-mitzvah. So remember again, we're talking about in the midah of zrizos. So we're speaking about, again, the need not just to go ahead and begin the mitzvah, but ultimately, again, to complete the mitzvah as well. And how Chazal clearly go ahead and give credit to the one who ultimately ends up completing the mitzvah. The rabbis spent a lot of time impressing upon us, stressing to us this point. Whoever begins a mitzvah but does not finish it, kover ishto ubanav, Chas v'shalom has to go ahead and bury his wife and his sons. Va'amru, in a mitzvah nikreis ela al shem gomra. Furthermore, Chazal said that the mitzvah is only known by the name of the one who completes it. So asks Rav Kashtiel a very simple question. Hayitorim, is this possible to be understood as stated? Kover ishta ubanav, that one who begins a mitzvah and Chas v'Shalom doesn't finish it, Chas v'Shalom could be said that he's going to bury his wife and his children. First of all, again, just the horror of that statement is overwhelming. And second of all, it just doesn't seem to fit. He says, B'sach HaKol, Hiskel Mitzvah V'lo Siyem. At the end of the day, what did a person do? A person began the mitzvah but didn't finish it. So, look, let's all agree that beginning a mitzvah and not finishing it is not good. Let's all assume that that's not something to aspire to, that our goal is to start something and to finish it. But because I started a mitzvah nonetheless, and I didn't finish it, as kover ishto ubanav, therefore, as a result, a person chas v'shalom buries their wife and their children, tzarech lohavin mazeh habitui sha'adam kover ishto ubanav. We have to understand what's the meaning of this expression, that a person buries his wife and his sons. The expression teaches us, what does it mean a person buries his wife? And just a result of Kashtiel understands from the outset, it's not to be understood literally. But rather, again, it's an expression. Oh, Mike, can you just close this door? What does it mean ultimately, again, that he's doing this? He says, Abitui balomar, thank you. Sha'adam hischil litzor chayim. So the expression means the following. A person began to put a life together. The person began to fashion a life. Liftoa chayim. Adam hikim mishpacha. Person establishes a family. As the chora hu higdil as a chayim. Hu oset dvarim ma'od chazakim. He begins ultimately again to expand his life. And he begins to do things strong. That are very important, very strong. V'chayim ha'ila. Ne'etzarim ba'emtza niktoim. So what Chazal tried to say is, imagine the following. Imagine a person begins the process of building a life. Imagine that for a moment. He begins to lay the foundation for his existence. He finds the right person, begins to build a life together. They begin to create a family together, build a home together. All the beautiful things here, right? They're both beginning to go ahead. He's beginning to go ahead and do all of these wonderful things to build for himself a life. And then what happens? In the middle of all of this, Chas v'Shalom, tragedy strikes and cuts off this dream. Kover ishta ubanav. And so imagine, Chas v'Shalom, a person is young, building their life. And then after they begin this process of building life, Chas v'Shalom, tragedy strikes, his wife passes away, his children pass away. What happens? Perush, shadavar sheyatzart, kover ishta ubanav, perush, hadavar sheyatzarta, mahalich shal chayim shenikta. Chazal's expression of a person buries his wife and his sons is supposed to be descriptive of a situation where a person has begun a particular endeavor, a particular situation, and then what? That situation is cut short. So imagine the tragedy. A person gets married, begins to build a home, begins to, page 164, middle of the page. Person begins to establish a family, and God forbid, his wife and his children die. We'd be horrified by such a terrible tragedy. Why? Now, what's tragic about that? Says Havi's, what's tragic about that? Not only that a person has lost loved ones, but that a person began a process of building something beautiful and vibrant. And then what? All of that was cut off. All of that was taken away. He says, Kisha'adam ha'aschil mitzvah ve'ino gomer. Listen to this powerful interpretation. When a person begins a mitzvah and he doesn't finish it, hu hischil mahalich shel chayim. What has he done? He's begun an approach to life, right? He's begun a beautiful endeavor in life. He says, u'mahalich ha'chayim hazeh nekta be'emtza. And when he doesn't finish it, then ultimately, again, this approach has been cut off right in the middle. You understand now what the expression is? This, by the way, is so enlightening, because I never really understood this medrash. So the Gemara also quotes it. So what does it mean when it says, anyone who begins a mitzvah but doesn't finish it buries his wife and his children? Does that literally mean, is that the punishment for not filling a mitzvah? I'll say, exceptionally harsh. There are many real averos that do not carry such a catastrophic punishment. So what does it mean? What Chazal is saying is the following. If you begin a mitzvah in life and you don't finish it, it's the same dynamic as a young person who begins to build a family and then loses everything. The same way when a young person begins to build a family, there's so much potential, so much opportunity, but then chas v'shalom, if his wife dies, if his children dies, he loses everything. If you begin a mitzvah, you begin a spiritual endeavor, and you don't go ahead and see it through till the end, all of that potential will be lost. All of that potential will dissipate. All of that beautiful opportunity will simply slip through your fingers. Why? Because again, this goes back to what we were learning in the last couple of days. Because here's the difference between spirituality and between every other material pursuit. When it comes to every other material pursuit, every other worldly thing, if you put in some initial effort and some ongoing involvement, hopefully your desires will materialize. When it comes to the realm of ruchnia spirituality, there must be perpetual, constant involvement in seeing my goal till the end. And if I think that I could put in a little bit of effort and then back off and the matter will come to fruition, simply not the way it works in matters of ruchnia. He goes on, he says, Ki ha'olam hazeh lo mituam lo meshatef pu'ula behechrich lochin amru chachamim. In ha mitzvah nikreis ela al shem gomra, because Rabbi say the way ultimately again it works in spirituality is that you can begin a process, but there is absolutely no guarantee that any part of that process will move forward without your constant involvement. That's why Chazal said that whoever finishes the mitzvah is ultimately given credit for the mitzvah, because the person who sees the act of fruition, that's the person who cared enough to roll up his sleeves and ultimately see this through. Hanakudah hidafka mishagamar. The ikkar of spirituality. This is an incredible yisod. You know, we often assume that the realm of spirituality, so it's the effort that counts. The results I don't really control. That is a partially true statement, but perhaps more accurately stated, I am responsible ultimately to see the results through when I could control the results. And in a situation where I control the results and I fail to see those results through to the end, I am not given credit for that act. And in fact, again, there's a profound level of disappointment and sadness, because what could have been so great, but now because I didn't see it through, ultimately, again, I've lost all of that potential. Achein, gam ne'emar, hamaschal b'gamitzvah, omrim lo gimar. Therefore, we'll say, what do Chazal say? Somebody who begins a mitzvah, what do we say to such a person? Finish it up. Finish it up. We'll say, you started something, finish it up. Maza omrim lo gimar. What does that mean? We tell someone, finish it up. Meaning, is that not obvious? Omrim lo tasim lev. We tell them, listen, pay attention. Al tova das ha-mitzvah. Don't lose out on this beautiful, precious mitzvah. Sarach ligmar, you got to finish. Zeh she'eschalta zelo omer klum. We'll say, it's very nice to start things. Beautiful to start things. But starting something is nothing. Ki ha'mitz ki ha'olam hazeh, hi lo metuam itcha, lo meshutaf itcha, tivdok. Because this world, we'll say, is not your partner in matters of spirituality. You see, again, in matters of, going back to yesterday, in matters of cooking my meat, so that the world is my partner. How so? Because there are laws of nature. I put the meat in the pot. I turn the fire on. There's a cooking process that's going to occur even without my constant, bottom of 164, even without my constant involvement. The world is my partner. There are laws of nature that partner with me to help make things happen. Says Dan Chal something so profound. In the realm of spirituality, the world is not my partner. The world is not my friend. And I'd say, lehefech, The world often is my archenemy, my nemesis. Why? Because the world, and specifically the passage of time, introduce all kinds of variables. If I don't act now, the statistical probability of me going ahead and following through and finishing up on the ruchnius endeavors I've started sometimes becomes exceptionally nil and small in nature. So therefore, again, Chazal said, I'm asking a mitzvah, you started something in the realm of spirituality, Omrim lo gimar, you need to finish up. You need to finish up. You need to go ahead and take it upon yourself to finish up. You need to make sure that ultimately the endeavor you begin is the endeavor that you finish. So it says, just to another line. He says, Lachin, shuv ze shayach l'tfisa malchutit. Therefore, we begin to see again that this seems to fit into like a monarchical framework. Yesh hevdal bein adam she'oseh dvar regilim lebein melech she'morit pekuda Shiloh lefi tab of 165. Shiloh lefi aseda haragil shal achevra. Shal haminag known hashagrati shal achayim. So I'll say this herein lies often the difference between the king, and ultimately again a person, I guess like our term, who works for the king. Right? The difference between the boss and the employee, both the king and the subject. How so? He says Hamelach Omer. Achshav Osim Project. Right? What does the king say? This is what we're doing. This is what we're doing. Ma'im kala ma'arachos. But king, there's so many plans. There's so many other things that has to happen. And what does the king say? Tistadru. Okay, nu, get it done. Right? Listen, this is what we're doing. So whatever supporting pieces need to be in place, get it done. Avazeh mis... I'm sorry. Amelach Omer Achshav... Avazeh misubach. Aye, but the subject say, but king, but this is a complicated project. It's complicated. I don't know if we're really equipped to handle it. What does the king say? Lo echpatli, does not make any difference to me. Atem tiyu mituim iti, meaning the king says, listen, my goal is not to convince you of what has to get done. My goal is to tell you what has to get done, and you need to figure out ultimately how to bring my will to fruition. Now we're going in this direction, and that's it. So this is how a king operates, right? A king is not answerable. A king says, this is what has to get done, and it gets done. And then it's up to the subjects to figure out how to get it done. Melech sheyotzi lemelchama, king goes out to war. O melech shemachriz al proyekt leumi, hu mizazeah es ha-ma'areches. See, Rabbi said, you understand what he's saying over here? The difference that happens is the following. If I'm not the boss, then if I want to go ahead and do something, so I need to figure out, like, can a framework support it or not? The king, the melech, doesn't have to worry about the framework. The king says, this is what we do. This is what we're doing. And then it's up to the subjects to figure out, ultimately, how to make that happen. Hulo ovi lefi akatzav haragil shel kulam. He doesn't have to conduct himself in accordance with the framework of everyone else, nor does he have to follow normal channels. Elohu yotzer mahalich chadash. He forges a new path. Kasher melech yotzi the mahalich chadash, shulo shigarti, hu chayiv liros shadvarim nigmarim kametziosi chola, lemasmes azesh shuv pam. Ki zesh shazarakta pekuda lo omer shachshav akomatuam, yesh hamoni kuvim. Melech shirotze laharitz ma'aracha mamlachtit chayiv levadesh achin advar miyotze lepo masmasim. So also listen to this. It's very nice that the king has the ability to say, this is what we're doing, and I want you to get it done. There's only one catch, which is the king, if he wants to be a leader like that, can't be an absentee leader. If the king wants to demand and say, this is what we're doing, let's get it done, then the king needs to be on top of every single detail to ensure that that occurs. Because what happens? If the king says, come on, let's get this done, and then checks out, then goes on vacation for 3 months, so the way back in 3 months and have it done, then what's going to happen? But so we all know what happens. What happens is something has to get done, and I often delegate it to others to go ahead and get it done without any personal involvement in it. So maybe sometimes a person has trusted people, but more often than not, if something major has to get done, so I have to be involved in it, right? The person, the melech still has to be involved in it. That's the yesod. The king has the ability to say, this is what we're doing and this is how we're going to do it, even though it's outside of the framework of the norm. But he also bears the responsibility to be on top of it and to ensure that it's going to occur. We'll stop here, but you'll see, of course, the nimshal with this is, Each of us is the melech over our spirituality. Each of us is the melech over our neshama. So the beautiful part over here is that I have the ability to go ahead and say, this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm accomplishing. And I don't care what anyone else says because I'm the melech over my spirituality. Being the melech is great because you get to be the decision maker. Being the melech also comes with awesome responsibility. Why? Because you're responsible to act and oversee the execution of it as well. Therefore, again, hamaschil b'gemitzvah, you want to forge new roads in spirituality, wonderful. Omrim lo gimar. You better finish, and you bear the responsibility ultimately for seeing the project to its fruition. I will pick up with this in Meretz Hashem tomorrow.